Sunnyside with Joyce.
Nigeria Info. Hello and a very, very beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Look, it's so extra beautiful because the air is cool. There's a chill in the air and we love it of any wet day. Yeah. Well, I hope your neighborhood is not too bad. But then ignore the bad and embrace the good. We're thankful for the rains. It's here. Enjoy it. Eat all the corn you can. So I love this season because of Pierre Ube. So if you're Igbo, you know it. Yeah? Uh-huh. This is my season. My time to shine. I don't do too much corn. I don't even like roasted corn. But you see, yeah, I do that whole corn once in a while. But Pierre, I could do Pierre every day until it's out of season. I love it. Yeah. So enjoy it and be grateful for the little things. Yeah, the fact that you're alive, you have hands, you have legs, be grateful. Be grateful, my friend. There are worse things out there. You think it's bad? Well, you haven't heard the worst. So be grateful. I want to quickly play for you something I think, we can call this one food for thought. Yeah? Yeah, because that's exactly what it is. Food for thought. I think if you will agree with me that there are dimensions to life. Network. Oh, when I have nuggets, when I have things I want to impress you with, maybe not necessarily impress you, but when I have things I want to share with you, I don't like it when the network gets in our way. You know what? We're going to move on with the show nonetheless. And then as soon as I'm able to get over this particular hurdle, then, of course, I will share with you the audio, which is necessary. I think it's important that you hear it. It's not a discussion. It's just food for thought. Oh, darling, you're your mother's child. Oh, Pinel. Hold on a second. Can I just play? Pinel, why is your network better than mine? Why? I've noticed you're always borrowing me your phone. Do I have to change my... Pinel always comes to the rescue. Her network works. Mine doesn't. Okay. You knew what I wanted to play. Pinel is such a right-hand man. The hand of the king. Don't worry, let me make some more money. That's exactly your title in my office. Like the hand of the king. Well, actually, that's a title in the movie, The Game of Thrones. The Game of Thrones is of course, it's a beautiful television series. The hand of the king is like the king's PA. Oh, yeah. Something higher than that, but something like that, king's PA. So this is what I want to share with you from Jordan Peterson. It's really, really worth contemplating. So if you'll help me with the volume. Come on now. Pete, you have a fine phone. The volume doesn't work. There you go, darling.
If you deceive yourself repeatedly, you'll mess up your identity. You mess up the neurology, for that matter. It no longer produces outputs that map on well to the world. What that'll mean is that your interest starts to become pathologized. And then you're really in trouble because your interest manifests itself involuntarily. And so if you mess up the machinery that... unconsciously orients you, that you don't have control over, but that has control over you, you're lost. There's nothing that can lead you back, and that should terrify you three quarters to death. It's like, don't mess with those unconscious instincts. Don't put garbage in the system so that you start being interested in things that are going to take you somewhere you don't want to go. Tell the truth, or at least don't lie. Well, why? Well, fundamentally, because if you deceive yourself repeatedly, you'll mess up your identity. You mess up the neurology, for that matter. It no longer produces outputs that map on well to the world. What that'll mean is that your interest...
The screen went to sleep. So it's tell the truth, or at least don't lie. So basically it's, well, we have to at least endeavor to tell the truth. Well, you don't know what the benefits of the truth are, do you? So I thought you would hear it from Jordan Peterson, who is a clinical psychologist, so that you hear how lying to yourself alters your own personal neurological balance.
There's nothing that can lead you back, and that should terrify you three quarters to death. It's like, don't mess with those unconscious instincts. Don't put garbage in the system so that you start being interested in things that are going to take you somewhere you don't want to go. Tell the truth, or at least don't lie.
Yeah.
Well, why? Well, fundamentally, because if you deceive yourself repeatedly, you'll mess up your identity. You mess up the neurology, for that matter. It no longer produces outputs that map on well to the world. What that'll mean is that your interest starts to become pathologized. And then you're really in trouble, because your interest manifests itself involuntarily. And so if you mess up the machinery that unconsciously orients you, that you don't have control over, but that has control over you, you're lost. You're lost. There's nothing that can lead you back. And that should terrify you three quarters to death. It's like, don't mess with those unconscious instincts. Don't put garbage in the system so that you start being interested in things that are going to take you somewhere you don't want to go. Tell
all
the
right.
truth, or at least don't lie.
All right, so I'm going to try to download that particular video and post it up on my Instagram page later this afternoon. I don't necessarily need a feedback from you. I just want you to think about it. And honestly, you don't have to accept it. If you think, well, it doesn't apply to you, if you think you have perfected the art of lies and you have been able to use it in ways that has brought about your benefit, absolutely, you can go right ahead with it. But sometimes you don't know that your human actions affect you neurologically. You don't know that your pattern in life, the things that you do repeatedly, actually alter or at least help to form not just your world or your perspective of the world, but also tamper or maybe help in the form in the formation of what can be called your psychological perception or your neurological structure. And if you did that long enough, then you damage yourself. And you might think, well, nobody's perfect. No, the issue is not imperfection. The problem is stupidity. It's that you have done something which you know to be wrong, but for the sake of benefit and self-gratification, you have done it so well in a bid to exploit it for whatever gain, you destroy yourself. So this is how we say it. You self-destruct. All right. So don't necessarily take it. You know, if it doesn't serve you, you don't take it. But then maybe if it does, then you help yourself. That's exactly what you do. That you already have salvation, and then to the best of your human ability, you do not make a shipwreck of that. 35 minutes past 12 on the sunny side. Welcome to Beautiful Time on Radio. It's Open Thought Wednesday. Off on a very short break. When we come back, how can we as a nation deal with poverty? Now, we know the current state of the nation. Fortunately for us, we have an opportunity to plan towards redemption. If our today isn't good, there is no guarantee that tomorrow will be better. The only reason we believe in a tomorrow is because sacrifices are made today for the advancement of tomorrow. And I want to find out whether you have thought about the possibility that Nigeria today being 14th, yeah, is what it is. And by December, there is a Nigeria that would happen. And that Nigeria would depend on the Nigeria today. And I'm talking economically. I'm speaking specifically to poverty. Do you think, and what do you think, are measures by which we can combat poverty of the future? When I say future, I mean 1 month from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Let's think that far. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Sunny Side. My name is Joyce.
Tune in to The Sunny Side with Joyce every weekday from 12 to 3 p.m.
Expect so much fun right here. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The Sunny Side with Joyce.
.3 Nigeria Info, The Sunny Side with Joyce. Welcome to the show. The Director General of the African Development Bank Group's Nigeria Country Department, Mr. Lami Barrow, has said Nigerian government's plan to lift 100 million Nigerians out of poverty by 2030 is threatened by the high rate of unemployment and income inequality in the country. All right. I want to share with you the gist of this particular situation. Barrow noted that the recovery in crude oil prices increase in the value-added tax rate to 7.5% and elimination of fuel subsidy would provide some fiscal relief for the Nigerian economy. According to him, there are high fiscal risks due to reliance on oil, weakness in non-oil revenues, and high debt service payments. And the other risks on medium-term growth for the country include inflation, insecurity, and high unemployment. Yeah. He said, fiscal risks are likely to remain elevated in the medium term due to high dependence on oil receipts, weakness in non-oil revenues, and high debt service payments, exceeding 60% of federally retained revenues amidst spending pressures. Besides the uncertainties associated with the pandemic, other downside risks to the medium-term growth outlook include fiscal pressures, that's fiscal and current account deficits and financing, persistent food inflation, insecurity, and high levels of unemployment, which has increased to 33.28%, and especially youth unemployment estimates to have gone from 38 to 42%. He noted that COVID-19 pandemic had amplified the already weak social conditions. All right. End quote, by the way. So here we are, and you know, I've been thinking about it, and this is my thinking, that I make this a conversation on radio. Let's talk about poverty. We do agree, as is evident, that today, well, the power of the Naira is not necessarily as good as it can be. Yeah. Because, well, yeah, we might not necessarily be a first world nation. We might not be, as far as spending power goes, the best in Africa. I mean, the shilling, for example, has more weight than the Naira. The CD is your uncle as far as value goes. You know, that's your mother right there. But it's that maybe we should not necessarily be thinking about the competition. Maybe what we should be doing is looking for ways by which the country can become efficient and find her own grounds and develop. But I remember when the nation reported a kind of depreciation in the Naira against the dollar in 2015, 2016, yeah? And then we've watched, you know, with consistency, how the Naira has, you know, danced around and has gone from, the one time it was 2-something, then it went to 3-something, then 4-something, and then you thought it was bad. You know, a parallel market, you're finding dollar for like 5-something. And you think, well, that was only maybe how many years ago? And here we are as a nation and things appear. I mean, you know how it is where you say, you know, I can't spend this amount of money on a particular commodity. And your excuse is it's too expensive. Then you realize that particular commodity never really comes down in price. So 2 years ago, you didn't eat, give me something. You didn't eat Spanish spaghetti. No, Italian spaghetti. You know, you go to the supermarket, you want to buy, you know, Italian spaghetti. They tell you 800 naira. You're like, ah, it's too expensive. Let's buy the cheap one. And you're thinking, one day, Sha, we'll eat Italian spaghetti. You didn't eat it when it was 800. No, they now say, ah, that 800 naira is now 1.6. You now know, you now realize that there's a gulf between you and I don't even think like Italian spaghetti is even luxury, you know, but here you go. It's now looking like it. You wouldn't drink milk. That year, maybe it was, I don't know, how much were the small, the 450 or 400? Maybe that year it was 600? Okay. No, maybe that year it was 400. We can't buy milk. It's expensive. Let's buy the sachet one. How much is that one? You don't know? You're a student now. 100 naira, huh? You know, let's buy the sachet one. Yeah, okay. One day we'll buy it. It now appears that one day, you're not moving. Inflation is moving. The distance between you and maybe one day, just lick this thing. Just know that it's human beings that drink milk or, you know, use honey. But you tell your honey is expensive, let's use sugar. Now, even the sugar is not necessarily that cheap anymore. And this is me just trying to give you, like, practical examples where you say you want to use butter. You're like, we can't buy butter. How much is butter? That year it was maybe 1K. No, let's use margarine. Today, the butter the butter is probably maybe 1.5. You know, you didn't eat it when it was 1,000. Now it's 1.5. You're not even sure if you're going to be able to eat it now. And then there's margarine, which we're even managing that year. This year now, you just talk to... If it was possible for you to rub oil on the bread and still be grateful, like you would just, you know... So I think that... I mean, I'm of course trying to be funny, but I'm trying to paint you a picture of how inflation has affected our lives. And that's for today. We don't know how much pasta is going to be tomorrow, spaghetti is going to be tomorrow, how much butter is going to be tomorrow, how much gas is going to be tomorrow. Now, there's tomorrow, there's also next tomorrow, there's today, there's August, there's September, there's December, there's 5 years from now. And if you've lived long enough, you realize people say, when the prices go up, they hardly ever come down. Now you get the picture. Good. Let's talk about poverty. So today we're managing... But 1 year from now, given the way things are going, how can we deal with poverty of the future? You see, if we're not planning for that, I just wanted to point you there. If we're not planning, it's anybody's guess what can happen. Now, China recently, you know, advised its citizens, well, I think it was May? Yeah, May. At the end of May, China's government, and this is only for example, just to give you an idea, and this is China, they're set to, at this point, be, you know, a top world government. At the end of May, China's government announced that couples will soon be able to have up to 3 children. Remember, China used to have a 1-child policy, then they went to 2-child policy. Now they realize that, well, the workforce is shrinking, and they need more humans to sustain the workforce and still give China a competitive edge in the economic market. So China says very soon the average Chinese will be able to have 3 children, up from the current maximum of 2. The news comes after China's recent census showed that the number of births was on the decline for a 4th consecutive year, with only 12 million births in 2020. Now, Chinese people are saying, as much as we would like to have more kids, the problem with that is we cannot quite afford the standard of living. I mean, we're managing at 2 children. If you say we should have more children, we don't have enough income to sustain 1 more person. Now, the only reason I'm referencing that is for you to understand that this is China, where there is economy, where they create jobs. This is China that practically, as far as commerce goes, the world is to some degree dependent on China for something. The world is... So China is a booming economy. But the Chinese people are telling you we can't have more than 3 kids now because there's hardly money to cater for 2. There's university, there's housing, there's feeding, there's everything else that we have to pay for to be alive. And that's China. Nigeria. Welcome to the Sunny Side. 0700-993-993-993. Let's talk poverty and... How can we deal with the poverty of the future? I think you're going to say, well, Joyce, we haven't dealt with the poverty of today. Honestly, that's a solid contribution. But if you think today is bad, I don't know for next year. This time next year, I'm not sure. Welcome to the Sunny Side. We're Nigeria Info. What's your name? We're happy to have you.
Okay. So, yeah, Joy.
What's your name?
Joy.
Oh, welcome, Joy. Thank you.
Yes. So the issue is this. Whatever I'm going to say now should be the opposite of what's going to take us out of poverty.
Okay.
Number one is religion. We use religion a lot. So because of that, we are beclouded. We don't even know what is right. Somebody will tell you, oh, my religion says I can have more than one. I mean, I can have as much as I can. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And this person, you know, is also poor. So how would this person be able to cater for himself and his family? Another one is political will. political will. Now, everything an average politician does not actually favor the masses. Everything is being politicized. So you say you want to do this. Obviously, the person has some selfish interest, not just for the masses. Now, somebody will say, oh, because we do not import, and that is why, I mean, we do not export, and that is why we are not able to have, that's why our dollar rate is having these issues.
Yeah.
Now, you ask yourself, if you want to have a business in Nigeria, Joyce, I tell you, you'll be so frustrated with the policies that they make. You're so frustrated with the overhead costs that you also run in your business, no lights. People actually want to have a business of their own, but the way to which you're going to allow this business to thrive is very, very difficult. And that is why we are always going back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah.
So the thing is this. Our leaders just need to do the needful. It's so simple. There's nothing difficult in making us go out of poverty. They tell you, oh, please, have two children. It's not that bad.
Oh, you want the government to tell you to have two kids?
No, what I'm saying is, having policies, me for myself, I understand myself.
Okay.
But some people in the village,
yeah,
you understand?
Yeah.
They do not understand this thing. So what will make them not do so is when you have policies to make them not do this
economic
thing.
Policies or economic policies?
We have economic policies.
Fiscal policy?
Fiscal policy, population policy.
Just like China. Okay.
Yes.
Well, this is a good start.
People tell you, oh, I cannot do this. But because there's a policy,
all right.
Thank you. Compelled to do that.
Thank you very much for calling. I thoroughly do appreciate. Thank you. You kind of highlighted quite a number of concerns there. Hello, welcome to the show, Ebuka. How are you?
Very fine. Good afternoon.
Go ahead.
Adding to what she said, I think laziness is one. I left off from a customer's
laziness. Laziness?
Yes.
Okay.
I left off from a customer's list. He's an engineer. He goes to all these other countries, Cotonou, Liberia. You know, we were discussing about it. He said Liberia uses currency in dollars, so to say. You know, their colonial master is USA. And he said then, if you want to marry, they will give you house, you understand? Because of that, they were not busy with one or two things to make money for themselves. So now they have stopped it. You get?
Okay.
They are now lavishing money anyhow. So taking it back to us, I see laziness because no one what you can handle. My people, if I buy material of 1 naira, I say 2 naira. Even if sugar or like all you analyze is that price of something is going up, which is frankly that's the truth. You get?
Okay.
Yeah. If I buy 2 naira, I say 3 naira. Even if in future to come, Joyce.
Wait, what country did you refer to?
I said taking it back to Nigeria. You know,
No. What country?
Liberia.
Liberia. Do you realize
Liberia.
What those people have been through? That they have just recently come out of the shackles of Charles Taylor.
In fact, that's another thing because.
Yeah, so I don't know that that's your good reference, though. And by the way, you think Nigeria. Is Nigeria. Let me look at Nigeria. You're talking about Liberia.
Yeah, what,
I'm telling you, how much is the bag of rice you're buying? Is it laziness that made our bag of rice? 30,000.
The police, our policy and whatnot, you get so many of them.
I don't understand your point. So how do we deal with poverty of the future?
I would do it with this is one. Our policy got to be set right. The lady talked about religion.
What do you mean specifically?
Outside.
What do you mean specifically? That's ambiguous
policy
when you say policy.
That, policy in the sense that you look at what you have.
Give me an example of that. Give me an example of that. This poverty is here. Don't be speaking loosely. You need to articulate your victory. What do you want?
What I want, Joyce.
You don't even know.
Infrastructure.
Okay.
One, when it comes to raw material, we have so many raw material in the country. Then go to do industrialization.
Okay.
I mean, like, for example, our quotas, we have it in Enugu or Egbema or these other places. Can we invest in those things?
Okay.
You know, let's begin to
invest in natural resource, agriculture.
Invest.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, hello. Sorry,
No, I'm sorry. But we have to move on. I do apologize. If I leave you, you would host the show. Hello, welcome, Collins, to the Sunny Side.
Hello, Joy. Good afternoon.
Welcome to the show. Good afternoon.
Yes. I'm following your show, program.
Oh, beautiful.
You are talking of planning.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, Joy. As far as this country remains the way it is structured, it cannot work. Even if we down south are planning, some of us up north, they are not planning anything. If we are here planning to to have just two or three children, those people up north are not planning the same way. Their own is just to have children, give them a ball to go out there to become a amajiri or something like that. So the thing cannot work as far as this country remains like this.
If something would work, what would that thing be? Because you see, this poverty, it's creeping in on us. It's we're jamming this thing every day as we wake up.
If it has to work, are you listening to me?
Mm-hmm.
If you have to walk, the country must be divided.
Uh-oh.
Because we are not the same. We are not the same in anything, in culture, in religion, in food, in clothing, in anything at all.
Do you really think that answers the question of poverty? Spending power? Remember that this is a function of economic capacity and capability.
Let me tell
this is
you,
not a tribal or ethnic situation.
It may not be all about ethnicity, but look at it this way. If the country remains like this, and we are not talking of letting other people grow, the people up north are not talking, they're thinking of letting other people grow. Because they don't want to grow.
You know what's interesting? Even the north has to grow. The south must grow. The east has to grow.
They refuse to grow.
Wow.
They refuse to grow. They don't want to grow, and they don't want others to grow.
If there be any policy that can help us tackle poverty today,
they will not allow the policy. The policy where somebody will score two points in jam and get in the jam or whatever physical exam and get the admission, and somebody here will score 130 points, and the person will not get admission. How do that policy work?
Very good question.
How do we progress with that type of policy?
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much. Yeah, you've left us with a food for thought. We're due for a break. We'll be right back. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info. Our conversation is on dealing with the poverty of the future. That could be tomorrow. We'll be right back.
The Sunny Side with Joyce.
99.3 Nigeria Info, the Sunny Side. Welcome. How are you? Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good afternoon.
We're happy to have you here, Kunle. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome, first-time caller. Thank you.
I enjoy your show so much, and I'm happy to be... You're the first person I'll be calling on the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
On the radio station, rather.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah. There's an aspect that I would like to point out.
Please.
On how to get us out of poverty.
Yeah.
And that aspect is very basic. And the government over the years has neglected it, or probably do not understand the importance. And that is education.
Okay, okay.
It's so basic, and unfortunately, it's a bedrock for any economic
advancement. Yeah.
I have a friend who traveled to Netherlands for a program,
yeah,
training, and when she got back, she noticed some things over there that the same way we have churches all over Nigeria, especially this western part, in a street, in fact, in a building, you could have like two or three churches or more. There, it is schools. Schools are everywhere. At every trackable distance to your home, there are schools. And secondly, there is another lady, she was a classmate now in Canada, and she now joins a particular NGO where they solicit funds and give book packs, like a pack to... In a collaboration with hospital for every child that is born in that hospital, whether you are a Canadian or as far as even a Canadian or you're international or you're a foreigner, that pack is given to you, and it involves educational books, bedtime stories, and it is given to everybody.
What country is that?
Canada.
Okay, go ahead.
So I now wonder, why was, with the level of civilization they have in Canada, in US, those advanced countries, they still place so much importance on education with the level of literacy. And then you come back home to Nigeria where literacy is so appalling, and then we do not care about education. Because every other person before now has mentioned one or two aspects of policies that need to be taken care of. And without education, how will we be able to do so?
Wow.
We need good economics, we need good architects, we need every aspect of endeavor, we need professionals. How do you get this professional?
Wow.
When the education is appalling.
Yeah.
We have not been able to meet United Nations quota of a budget on education.
Wow.
Consistently,
okay.
We've fallen short of that. So I think that is one aspect that the government, individual, should put emphasis on.
Thank you. Look, you have absolutely no idea how, you know, I really do appreciate your contribution. Thank you very, very much for calling. We have about 30 seconds before it's 1 p.m. for us to bring to you Lost to the Headline. So I'm going to say I'm off on a break. When I come back, the sunny side, the conversation continues. And I have something I want to say from off of the contribution of the last caller. So you want to hear it? Don't go anywhere. The sunny side. 99.3 Nigeria Info, you're on the sunny side. Welcome, my name's Joyce. About 3 weeks ago, when the pear season started, I went to the woman roasting the corn and I say, hey, good afternoon, I want pear. And she said to me, 100 naira. So two things are at play. Either the 100 naira is beginning to look quite inferior, or maybe the food is really, really expensive, or maybe even both. I saw a police officer eating corn without pear, and I thought, I almost wanted to say to him, Bianna, you're eating corn and pear at 100 naira. I think EFCC should investigate. Well, I wanted to say that, and I realized, well, he was eating his corn without pear. Well, so this is it. Well, on one hand, you think, well, it's 100 naira. And then you realize that if you were a family of three and you needed to buy pear, so me now, I can finish maybe 8. Are you looking at me? Come on, keep a straight face. Well, I love it. Hey, maybe even, okay, you know what? I can finish 8. I love it like that. Maybe even 10. I really like it. So I'm thinking that's 800 naira, and I've not quite had lunch just yet because I'm not going to have corn. So I'm thinking, oh, wow. I was asking someone the other day. He said, pear is expensive. I said, how many? He said 150 naira, and it's small. He felt very hurt. So that year you didn't eat turkey. Your mind, you go to the market, you see live turkey, you pass it. Ah, this is expensive. Let's work hard. One day we will buy it. Not one day. Here we are. This Christmas, I don't even know how much turkey is going to be. Well, if you didn't eat it when it was 25,000, is it now you want to eat it? The last caller spoke about education. Let me tell you, and let's think about this. What then is the minds of people? Because if you check it, it is quite true that there are more churches than there are schools. So it would appear that even in the mind of the average Nigerian, it's more business profitable to open a church than to open a school. These are the same people who would blame the government. Understand it. Now remember that, well, while the church can be a source of income, well, so is education. But I also want us to really understand the psychology of the average Nigerian who would choose opening a church than opening school. Think about that. And that should even let you understand the depths of your problem. Yeah, because I'm going to Italy. That's why I said it's your problem. 0700-993-993-993. The sunny side. Welcome. My name is Joyce. How are you?
Hi, Joyce. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome. The poverty of the future is the topic. What's your name?
My name is Amos.
Welcome, Amos. Speak up for us. I want to hear your opinion real quick. Go ahead, please.
That for me, to solve the poverty of tomorrow is simple. What is lacking is the political will to do it.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Joyce, I travel around the Southwest. especially Lagos Ibadan Expressway. And most of the time, I'm almost always very surprised because I want to see farm everywhere with what we are going through.
Yeah.
But you don't see that. I expect God.
Oh, you're breaking up. Hello. I do apologize. Oh. Okay. Are you there? I might have lost you. Please call back. 01465-7190. That's the number for the ladies. Let's hear you on Nigeria Info. Good afternoon.
Joyce, good afternoon.
Welcome, lady. We're happy to have you. Welcome.
Personally, I think the best way we can solve this problem of poverty is love.
Love?
Why do I see love? Yes.
Oh.
The last caller said education. If you don't love anybody, you won't want to educate the person. We don't love enough. If we loved ourselves, the government will not inflict so much pain. The bandits would not. Nobody will want to harm the next person. You can't educate anybody you don't love. You don't want that person informed. You want the person to be blind.
Get on
the road. If you're on the road and you're driving, the next driver will want to run you off the road. Get to the school. Some teachers are so disgruntled. They take it out on the children.
Then the hospitals, the nurses, though.
Oh, sugar, that's another story. They are so mean. They don't even... You wonder if they want the patient to be
survive.
Okay or to just die there. If we loved enough, we won't want to see the next person suffering. We want to lend a helping hand. And that's the situation that's brought us where we are. That's why somebody can amass so much wealth and impoverish the nation just for one person to have everything. That's why our governors, that's why everybody in government gives his or her hands inside the cookie jar without caring for the next person, without imagining what the future of the unborn ones would be like. That is why we don't care what our roads are like.
Thank you.
No matter what we do, we don't love, that education will still be a dream, a mirage.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I want to quickly say something. There was an American who came to Nigeria. I can't remember what field of study he operates. And then he had a moment on the TED stage in the US. And he said on his visit to Nigeria, he met rich men who lived in the quote-unquote neighborhoods. And by his judgment, the neighborhoods could have been better given the status of the rich man. And then he said he asked someone and say, so there is insecurity. And this was maybe like 10 years ago. He said, well, there's insecurity in your nation. How are you a rich man and this is a problem? And the rich man told him that they hire security. And the guy could not wrap his head around it. He looked like... He looked like someone stoned him with foolishness. He looked like someone slapped him with illusion. He was like, you live in a society where insecurity is the problem. Rather than fix the problem, you hire security. And he said he couldn't understand that. So yeah, this last caller probably has a point. Probably has a point. Well, that's one of many. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome, Precious.
Okay, my name is Precious. I'm calling from Kudu. Talking about this poverty problem, it's not poverty, your choice. Don't call it poverty. Extreme poverty. This one is extreme poverty. See, the first thing the government needs to do to stop extreme poverty in our country, number one, they should invest in girls' education.
The boys are like, we ain't call. What about the boys?
The boys too, but most especially the girls. They should invest in girls' education.
Okay.
So, this education is very, very important. Number one thing to do. And number two, health and well-being. The health and well-being of the country. Of the people in the country, because of this poverty, they should build hospitals. They should build different kind of health centers so that all of us we have well-being. And number three, in this our Nigeria, we don't take technology as something.
I mean, if you consider the education, you can see why that is.
Yes, that is why the government needs to expand economic opportunities and embrace technology. We don't embrace technology in this part of our country.
Sounds like you're talking to villagers, you know? Sounds like you're speaking to people who still eat from stone. And you probably have a point, really. Because, you know, when we have entrepreneurs say, well, we have some idea that can help society, but the policies choke us out. Well, thank you very much for calling. Hello, welcome to Nigeria Info. This is Jackson from Aja. We're happy to have you.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. We're happy to have you, Jackson. We're talking about the poverty of the future.
Exactly. Look, I want to state this categorically clear that the financial institutions, the banks, are the major problem. Do you know that since 3 days ago, Access Bank has removed money from my account, 10 naira, 15 naira, for just nothing?
Have you gone to the bank?
I've called their customer care and sent a report. They say it's for discharges, and I'm not using my ATM for the past 2 months. So these people are causing poverty to people. That's my point. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Hope you've done something about it. Like, you know, report them to CBN or, well, speak to a manager.
How do I go about that?
Well, yeah. So I know that. Go on Google and search it out. Complaints, yeah, to the CBN.
Okay.
Yeah, go to Google, use that, find, yeah, there you can complain. And then speak to a manager. I mean, they don't want their credibility, you know, slapped with some bad reputation. Yeah? Okay. Hello, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome to the show. Welcome. The poverty of the future, and we can't even guarantee what the cost of food will be 1 month from now. Hello. Welcome, lady.
Yes.
What's your name?
Okay, my name is Joy.
Welcome,
the
Joy.
The reason I'm calling back now is in response to the last caller.
All right, real quick, you have 1 minute.
Oh, yes. Talking about charges, one thing about Nigerians is that they don't want to take their time to understand the reason they are being charged. Because of what is happening in the country, because of, okay, you spend money on this, you're paying too much on a particular thing, you not take your anger to the bank. Mind you, CBN regulates the bank. The bank will not just charge you on just no cost.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, this is not the first time we've heard someone actually cry over charges, though. And that's not me supporting him. That's me saying I've heard it a number of times, too.
Good. Because I actually had an encounter with somebody yesterday.
Okay.
And he said I was charged over a particular thing. And when I checked the person's account, I said the person, see, this charge is for this particular...
Uh-huh. Well, of course, there's that. Yeah.
You understand? This is what it is.
The man says he hasn't used his card for 2 months. So either he's too angry to observe that he used it last month or last week.
I don't even understand.
Well, so understand that the bank has to explain to him. And that's the responsibility of the bank. So that's why he should speak to a manager. Are you a staff of the bank? You need to really call him on a personal note and help him out. Beautiful, then. Okay, good.
From the bank. And I speak with them.
Are you saying you've never heard people complain about charges which are undue?
Yes.
Yeah. You've heard it now. Yeah, this is not me trying to, you know, shove this down your throat. Sometimes, you know, the bank users are not patient enough, and that's also true. So in a situation where you don't understand why you have been charged, well, then meet the bank manager. Yeah? And then if you must cry out, please cry out. All right. Oh. Good afternoon. Welcome to Nigeria Info.
All right. I am Joyce.
Yeah. What's your name?
Isaac. My name is Isaac.
Welcome,
Isaac. Calling from Egondo.
Thank you.
So I said my voice must be heard today.
Please, we want to hear it. Poverty is probably living with us at this point.
As in, Joyce, you see that lady that called to talk about love?
Yeah.
You see now, it's just plain black and white. We just need to kill the hate. Government is not the problem.
Well, government is part of the problem. Wait, my friend. No, wait. Let's be honest,
Ma'am, make one point. Let me just make one this point. Look. When you plant, whatever you plant, that's what you use. If you plant
corn, whatever you sow, you reap. Yeah,
exactly. Sure. If you plant corn, now corn will grow. If you plant cassava, you can even go and plant corn and see cassava growing. Mm. It's impossible.
Yeah.
So, look, amongst ourselves, that guy, somebody called to talk about education in Netherlands and everything. See, that one has another major problem. Even at this point, even if we can afford to build schools, we can educate one another. It starts with oneself. You'll be inside the bus, We be inside the bus, you eat whatever you eat, you throw the nylon outside, believing that somebody will sweep it. If you love ourselves, you will throw that dot where it's supposed to be, you will hold on to it, that's where it's going, and throw it. Most all these little things are the things that grow up eventually. See, a better tomorrow starts with sowing a better seed now. Let's just start educating ourselves. We have to kill the hate. There's too much, you know, they call government. Government is not the problem. Government, see, as long as if we start loving ourselves, it will eventually grow. Probably we might have the grace to see a better Nigeria tomorrow if we start investing in it now. Government is not the problem because we are ourselves. It's amongst ourselves.
Thank you. Thank you very much for, you know, actually echoing this. I remember I wanted to study law here in Nigeria. But then I think someone was complaining to me that she wanted to study law part-time. And she was told that she couldn't study law part-time at one particular university, that you had to be a full-time student to study law in Nigeria. Now, I know the lawyers are going to be like, Well, so let me give you the gist. It's an old gist, though, but it's really worth, you know, maybe the rules have changed now. She was told that she couldn't study law part-time. She had to study it full-time. And she said that she really feels that the only reason that is actually a thing, she feels that there's an arrogant undertone to that. That why wouldn't you let someone who maybe wants to do something part-time do it? Well, this was a few years ago. And I wondered, I was like, well, why not? Because in first world countries, if you were, you can study from prison. You know, for example, I remember prisoners sign up for a law degree. Someone sent me this just about the time she was complaining about that whole full-time, part-time thing. This was what, maybe like 2011 or something like that. Someone was like, well, but you can do this overseas. Why can't we do it here? And then I wondered, I thought, yeah, there are many things that we need to fix inside. So I don't know the recent updates, whether you can actually study law part-time. Someone can help us with that information. So if there's any Nigerian who's working one small job somewhere, wants to go back to school, yeah, because this is like old gist, you know? Yeah. All right, welcome to the show. How are you?
Yeah. Hello, Joyce.
Good afternoon. Welcome. What's your name? Fine, thank you. Poverty and how do we fix it?
This is Remy.
Thank you.
Each time I hear some funny narrative, I just laugh. We don't love ourselves and all that. That is not peculiar to Nigeria. It's across the world. Government should be held responsible. Policies determine how good or bad citizens will live their life in a period of time. We live in a country whereby those who handle the government flout court order at will. We have people who are institutions unto themselves. We have people who implement policies that kill businesses, and you want such society to thrive. It won't. Telling me it is about love. Here in Nigeria, we tend to see things happen in other countries. During ordinary protests, people loot in other countries too. Are you telling me they love themselves?
Are you comparing the looting that happened in South Africa to what happened here?
You said?
Are you comparing the looting in South Africa to the
it
one?
It happened in France as well, not just South Africa. It happened across the world. In US as well, too. People loot, people do that across the world. So people telling me it's love and all that. It is no lack of love. Government has failed. We all can be at the end of our fears. More reason we put people into power to handle the system.
But do you know it's the poor people who loot? The relatively middle income people don't loot.
My point is, it happens across the world.
So can we underscore the fact that there's a certain economic class that does the looting?
Yes, and it's a sign of failure from those handling the economy.
Exactly.
In some other countries, there are safety nets for the poor. Here we don't have that, and you expect things to work. Telling me it is lack of love.
So how can we fix this poverty? Because I don't know whether you might admit it. There is a threat. There is this thing that is coming, and it's a storm, and it's called poverty.
Yes. There is a yardstick by UN that any nation should spend 50% of their budget on education. Do we have that here? Ever since the inception of the democracy we have now since 1999. We've had less than that budget on education.
So what do you want the government to do? So what are you asking the government to do? Because I don't know whether you see it. What I see, I don't like it.
Myself, to just, you don't need to be a prophet to to foresee what is to come.
Yeah.
They have failed in handling the economy, precisely. Presently, the rate of unemployment is so high. And according to the saying, an idle mind is devil workshop. You see youth on the street dealing with drugs and all that.
So you're saying we're going to be having churches, no schools, and more devil workshops. Well, Joyce, this is damnation then.
On each street, there are more churches than factories. Hope you know that.
You're asking
on my
me,
own street, I, on my own street that. Alone, I have more churches, no factory on my street. No, just one factory. There are hundreds of churches on my street. So how do you expect such societal environment?
So policies, is that what you're aiming at? The policies must be fixed like yesterday? I lost you. Thank you very much for calling. Welcome to the show. The poverty of the future.
Good afternoon, Joyce.
Turn off your radio. Good afternoon to you.
Okay. I'm calling you from the closing list.
Thank you. Speak closer to your mouthpiece. Turn off your radio, please.
Okay, I've just done that.
Okay.
Is it better now?
Yeah, thank you. Go ahead real quick. This poverty.
Quite frankly, I will do this very soon. Let me take it off from where the last caller stopped.
Yeah.
If we really want to say that looting and all that, we should also look at what is going on in our National Assembly. It's also another form of looting. You understand? Whether you loot shop in the vice, that look like people are protesting and all that.
Yeah.
It's a global phenomenon. These are things that you need institutions that checkmate all these things. For instance, when we have protests, you also have institutions that should make sure that people don't go against what they are protesting about.
I mean, pardon me, when you say like looting is global, so I understand. I mean, yesterday South Africans went looting and they even looted a casket. And you want to really ask the man, like, son, what do you want to do with that?
My sister, that a thing is a global phenomenon doesn't necessarily mean that it is right. It is wrong.
I'm trying to underscore that there is an economic class that actually goes looting, and those are the hungry in society.
These things have been created over time.
The middle class doesn't go looting.
No, it is not about the middle class. People who change the budget today are people who are very, very educated. But because of their personal aggrandizement, they have decided to subject other people to untold hardship, pains, penury and poverty.
Because poverty they must is be there. Something, man.
That's why they educate their own world. Outside the show. Listen, I tell people, if we want to fix Nigeria, it's very simple. Let us make a law that will say that a legislator must not educate their world outside the shores of Nigeria. You will see Nigeria working tomorrow. It is this. Listen, obviously, we are just postponing all these things. We are making it very difficult. Let us look for a way to make a law that will say that anybody who must be a legislator today in Nigeria,
all right.
Have his family member, at least three of his kids, school here.
Okay.
Then you pick Nigeria. It's as simple as that.
All right.
Good afternoon.
Thank you very much. And it gets very interesting. We have about a few seconds before we go off on a break. So I'm going to say hang in there. We're off on a break. When we come back, the conversation continues on Nigeria Info. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome to the show. We're considering the poverty today and we're trying to merge that against what's possible to come. Our tomorrow, next month, this year, December, next year, 2023, Nigeria. And by the way, if you have had time to either download or both download and read Rockefeller Lockstep Document 2010, they made a Nigerian prediction there. They made a Nigerian prediction there. I don't want to tell you from here. Please go on and read it. It's probably on either page 17 or 18. But between 16 and 20, you see the Nigerian prediction. That's something. 28 minutes past 1 p.m. So there's poverty today. And we have seen the advancement of our economic ambition. And we have, I mean, you can rate yourself. How about that? You can look at yourself 10 years ago. And then look at yourself today. And based on your advancement thus far, you can say, well, this is where we can be 1 year, 2 years, 3 years from now. But what's guaranteed is that the poverty has a uniform at this point. It's Nigerian. It's a passport-carrying member of society. It's insane. Welcome to the show. How do we deal with the poverty of the future? Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Welcome. What's your name?
My name is Yuni, calling from Ikega.
Thank you.
You know, talking about youth unemployment, I think Nigerian youth need to be informed. They have to look beyond the shores of Nigeria for jobs, even if they have to work in Nigeria. One thing I've discovered recently is that many foreign organizations recruit youth, you know, sometimes maybe making them to work online, you know, for while they're here.
But there are only so many jobs you can get via the internet. Because remember, wherever that job is coming from, they have their citizens. And usually the job opportunity will go to a citizen of a nation first.
No. I know what I'm saying. You know, there are various training programs, you know, by foreign organizations for citizens of third world countries like Nigeria. I'll give you two examples. There is the SAB.com, for example. I think they do about four different trainings in a year. Each training lasts 3 months, and while the training is on, they pay 120,000 naira per month, you know, to participants, you know, and then when they finish the training, because it's supposed, the training is meant to equip them with soft skills, you know, that are necessary to function in modern offices, in addition to their degrees. And it doesn't even discriminate against courses, for example.
You say they pay 120,000 a month.
Yes.
Our minimum wage is 30,000. So you're certainly speaking to you're speaking to me. So how many me are there in this? I have a job. So the people you're speaking to, do they have jobs? Can they afford 120,000 a month and do that in 3 months?
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, I do, but I want to. I'm also talking about
participants that pay. It is the training organizations that pay participants.
Oh, well, you didn't put it like that. Well, thank you. Okay.
No, okay. Maybe you didn't understand. Maybe
it was the way you said it. You said, you know, you pay 120, and I'm thinking, well.
Oh, sorry about that.
Okay,
so
okay.
The training organization pays 120,000, you know, per month for participants for the 3 months that the training, you know, lasts. And after that, they try to, at least about more than 90% of them, are placed in top jobs. I know because I have a child who is doing it now.
Okay.
And I know, you know, somebody who did it introduced my child to it. Just check them. It's SAP.com. It's competitive, actually, because this cohort, for example, I know they interviewed about 2,400
people. Software Solutions.
And for now, only 27 are, you know, on the program, and they are recruiting for September. What I'm saying is that...
Yeah, thank you for
information matters. The same thing for SEO Africa. You know, those ones...
SEO? Did you say it's
SEO? SEO Africa.
Thank you. SEO Africa.
You know, those ones train participants for just 3 weeks. They pay 17,000 naira to each participant while the training lasts, and they fix them up in jobs. One thing I discovered is that, you know, these jobs, the vacancies are there, but they don't come to the market to recruit again. Hello?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, they recruit via these training platforms.
Yeah.
These training organizations, they work with them. Mm. I know SAP, for example, works with LNG, NNPC, with Shell, all these top organizations. They are based, they are German training, you know, they are German tech companies, but they contribute to society, to global growth, by training vulnerable people in vulnerable societies.
Yeah.
So these are little information that Nigerian youth need to get. I don't support all these people that will call and be saying empty hands, idle hands, Satan's. Are they expecting our youth to keep wasting their lives, you know, engaging in criminality that won't take them anywhere? So when you have information at your fingertips, if you don't want to work in companies, there are skills you can learn on YouTube. 10, 20 minutes, you know, videos, and you are good, and you are good to go.
Okay.
So instead of telling people that I do answer whatever...
No, I think the person was trying to refer to the fact that a person who has no source of income, who's hungry,
it's
an easy agent for the work of madness.
Sure. Yeah. So they need information like this.
Well, thank you.
You know, to keep moving.
We really appreciate you. You say it's SAP.com?
Yes, SAP.com, and then SEO Africa.
SEO Africa.
Yes, SEO.
Look, God bless you. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So, if you're listening, so by the way, I just quickly Googled that. Both of them are tech oriented. So that would mean that if you have a tech background, this might just be something for you. SEO Africa and SAP.com. Now, good luck. All right, the rest of us, welcome to the sunny side. Unemployed, partly employed, underemployed, just out here in the madness looking for employment. Welcome, how are you? Hello, Nigeria Info, good afternoon. Hello, sorry I lost you. If you make it back, okay. Hello, welcome to the sunny side. What's your name?
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome. My name is
Emir. Welcome.
From my papa.
Thank you very much. Poverty.
Okay, so I went to the supermarket yesterday and I took like 3 things and then 5,000 I finished.
What did you take? What did you take? Champagne? Bushmeat? What did you take?
I took insecticide, toothpaste, and facial cleanser.
5K.
And boom, 5,000 I was finished. Like, what's going on?
You're still cleaning your face. You're not hungry.
Okay, you got me there. But really, personally, I used to feel like there are some people out there that are actually playing chess with what's happening to us.
Yeah.
And in a way, it feels like those people really don't even care about what's happening to us down here. Like, the rich keeps getting richer and the poor keeps getting poorer. And, well, I don't know. I feel it's about policy, Sha.
And they live at VGC or live at Ikoyi or live in VI. Well, it's like a sinking ship. You know, so a ship is sinking and then the people who are like already in the water are asking for help. But the other guys on the other end of the ship were like, well, sorry about that, but it's the same ship. So I don't know how we're going to do this, but this poverty has come. I don't even know that it's coming.
Like the way those people are thinking, and those people that are supposed to help out there, like, nah, if you put things, there'll be enough for us to eat and all like that. So, personally, I feel they just do not care. I've been to the north, like, I've seen like 50 children with bowls. You get?
With bowls of spaghetti, just bowls, empty bowls, or bowls with food in it.
Begging for money, looking for people that will just give them food. They wash plates just to get food. And then there are people that are rich in that same place. Like, what's going on? I don't know, man.
Well, at least after cleaning your face, you can say a prayer and then let's wait. We need to figure this thing out. Thank you very much for calling. 99.3. Well, you don't have to look far to see the poverty. If it was bad 10 years ago, I don't know what it would be next year. I don't know what it would be next year. I don't know. 5 years from now, I don't know. And maybe you're listening, you're 30. So by 35, it's like, well, you're Nigerian, you're 35, and you cannot quite touch. I mean, you have hope, so which is good. But you say if you needed something to bank on, to plan towards, you cannot quite touch anything within sight. Because we're hearing things like, well, you have a university certificate. And then the next thing is, where do we get the jobs? And then someone actually looks you in the face and tells you, well, unfortunately, there are no jobs. It's like, are we playing here? The poverty of the future. Welcome to Nigeria Info. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. Turn off your radio. What's your name?
My name is Femi. I'm calling from Lekki.
You called before? Lekki.
Sorry?
Have you called before?
No, I haven't.
Oh, well, we're happy to hear from you, please.
This is my first time calling this radio.
Well, bless your heart.
Or even calling any radio for that matter.
I'm so glad you felt compelled to call. We need solutions, my brother.
Thank you. Okay, let me break it down. Somebody said love. Is it possible to elect somebody like Biden, the President of the United States in Nigeria? I don't think it's possible. I know why it's not possible these days, because what we are aware of here is different from what they are aware of there.
Yeah, the orientation, that's true.
The orientation, that which I will bring to mean our consciousness, our awareness, what we ask for. In Ondo, I mean, Ekiti State the other time, they said they wanted stomach infrastructure. So when somebody goes into government, you expect him to bring something back. So how do you expect him to grow the economy? How do you expect him to do something favorable for you? It's not possible. And that's why when somebody said love, actually it's love. You know, we have to go back to the basics. In time past, my parents tell me, that when you are out, maybe you're hungry and you see a tree of mangoes, you can go to the mango and pluck. As long as you're not plucking to go and sell, it's allowed. You know, you see yams on the road, I mean, by the side of the way on the road, you see three pebbles beside it, meaning 3 shillings.
Yeah.
You put 3 shillings down and you pick a tuber of yam. That was how we handled all these things. Now, you know, we've lost everything. Look at the House of Assemblies. We are filled up with all kinds of
human
characters. Mm. You know, of recent, Yahoo Yahoo boys are finding their way into our House of Assembly. So what do you expect to happen? Do you expect growth? So the same pilfering will continue. So it's about love. As long as we continuously elect the wrong people to government, they will continue to have poverty and
You know, you actually mentioned something which also holds us accountable for maybe the reality that we have today in this country, which is that you said something. You say, well, if we put a leader in office and we tell him about stomach infrastructure and he thinks, well, all I have to do is just go come back and share for 5,000 for these people and they're going to practically pray for me, then we don't hold him accountable, and meaning he gets away with everything.
He gets away with everything.
So then education then. So do you have an idea? Because then you take us back to education.
Yes, a bunch of monkeys will not elect a hyena to come and lead them. They will elect a monkey to lead them. So that is it. So as long as we think the way we think, and in our awareness, we're looking for how to hurt the other person, how to take
and steal from the other person.
Elect the wrong people.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
We need to educate ourselves that you take nothing for nothing. That's the first law, you know. And as long as we have this awareness, we need to go back to our tradition, you know, our tradition, African tradition. Where we don't take, like, you know, in the villages, nobody takes and other person's things. You know, we live harmoniously.
Wait. You're rushing us. That phrase, explain it to everybody listening, please, because that's the problem. Yeah. Explain that phrase, to take nothing for nothing.
You will take nothing for that. Is whatever you sow, you shall reap. Whatever you take, you have to pay back that particular thing. It's not free. Nothing is free.
Because we've been taking 5 kg rice. We're dying, man.
Yes, I mean, it's because of, I mean, what
5K rice, taking tin tomatoes, you know, we've been collecting brown envelopes. We can't even pay our way through a solid hospital. We don't have it.
That is the problem. This is the point is this. You know, a lot of us, the way we are thinking is, let me just have my own break and I'm done.
Yeah.
Nobody, you know, you want to climb up and remove the ladder for the next guy. It doesn't work that way. I mean, the corruption, even in moral corruption amongst our young ladies, is due to this same consciousness, you know. Yeah. Everybody just wants to leave. Let me just cross the river and just remove the boat or remove the bridge for the next guy.
Even dry up the entire water. Well, thank you very much for calling. Our reality has set in. I do appreciate you calling in. Well, Nigeria, we're talking about the poverty of the future. We do admit that the one today is hard. I don't know how hard you're going to pray, because tomorrow, God have mercy. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
Yeah, the one we are facing is higher. And the higher one is still coming if we did not lay our bed well. And when you are talking about technology and the school, education without food, you will not be well equipped. Because the brain will lack the power to absorb what you are telling them. Is it not so?
Well, I don't even know where you're standing. So wait, are you saying...
We're talking about education. People are talking about education. What are we to do now to alleviate this poverty?
Yeah, do you have an idea?
It's a matter of knowledge and being learned. But by the time you did not practicalize it, is the education functionable like that? So we Nigerians, we know what our problem is.
So wait, what's the problem in your view? Are you saying that we need to make food affordable?
Yes, education alone cannot make food affordable. But the practical aspect of education, the practical makes the difference. It's not like you say you are spiritual learned, but the practical does not show it. So people will hardly believe you. Because Bible says that
you're saying two things.
Faith without work is dead.
Yeah, but food and education are two separate needs, though. So are you saying that we should get food first and ignore education, then after eating we can talk about education?
Both of them go hand in hand. Practical education, learning how to farm, learning how to do many things, also education.
Are you saying we should wait, please? It does appear you're saying...
the farm settlement.
Are you saying we should invest in agriculture?
Who cannot go to Dubai? Who cannot go to England?
Thank you.
And then build houses there.
Thank you.
For those that are inside the farm settlement, to settle those that come in.
Thank you very much for calling 99.3 Nigeria Info. I even want to segue to another topic. Hello, welcome to the show, David. The poverty of the future.
Yeah, good afternoon, Joyce.
Good afternoon. We're happy to have you.
Yes, I'm here. I feel so sad when I hear people trying to downplay the power of love.
Oh.
Honestly, it is larger than we think.
Oh.
The word love is larger than we think. It is dependent upon where you're looking at it from. That it, when you hear an American president say America first, then you know how much they love the people. An American was abducted in Nigeria. They came down here, rescued him, took him back. That is what I call love. When you can die for just one citizen. We're not talking... See, I weep for us. Sincerely. I weep for this nation. Just like you brightly said, where are we going? When I see my six-year-old son, I want to ask myself... See...
If you have a child, I think you have a special burden, man.
Exactly. When I see my six-year-old son, I cry for myself. See, we're not building a society where when I'm no longer there, at least the system can carry on.
True.
You understand me? The system can carry on, take care of my son. Even in my grave, I'll be smiling that, yes, I left my son in a place where the system will take care of him, even in my absence. But that is not what we have here.
Man, that thing is mind-boggling, man.
It is mind-boggling.
It is really mind-boggling, man.
It is killing. Nigerians are very contented people. We drive a Toyota Camry and we think we've arrived. See, Joyce, in the next 10 years, I don't pray, by the special grace, it will not... But I'm one person who keeps telling people, look, don't call God into this. God is everywhere. God did not fix US.
We've used
God
churches to try to scam God, and he's just watched us open churches
honestly,
and ignore school.
Honestly,
and then he's like, okay, let's see how this goes.
God did not fix US. God did not fix Canada. God did not fix Europe.
I even think there's something that we do, which is we say God on Sunday, and then we're something else on a Monday morning.
On a Monday morning. Tuesday with something else, Wednesday with something else, Joyce. Thursday we are evil. Friday we are vigil.
Friday night we are for God.
We are in vigil. Saturday we are.
Saturday we're for the clubs. Then Monday morning.
Why are we so deceptive in this part of the world? See, Joyce, if you love a child, just like I've told you now, if Nigerian truly loves Nigerians, you would want to secure the next 20 years for every single Nigerian. At least for a start.
Yeah.
For a start. Let the next 20 years look very hopeful. Let it look very bright for the Nigerian.
Man, because...
Joyce, the next 2 minutes... See, I am sorry I have to use that. So, something happened to us sometime just like 2 weeks ago. We lost somebody in an hospital right here in Nigeria. I went into the room where he passed, and I was looking at him on the bed. When I came out... I didn't see even... No, somebody might say they are training. The nurses were just busy, casual. I said to myself, so this could have been me. And people were so carefree. Nothing, as if nothing had happened.
I think they've seen too many dead bodies. You know how it is where you work with...
Joyce, Nigeria is a place where you see a corpse by the road and you just pass by. Nigeria is a place where you see... Where do we have that song, Try a Little Kindness? See, if we don't have love, if we don't start love, if we don't practice love, if we don't live in love, we cannot overcome this poverty. We cannot. There's nothing. Because I'm thinking of what my son and I will eat alone, and my wife, and my mom is okay, my parents are okay, my siblings are okay, and that ends it. Nigeria is a place where you see, you get, in fact, it's spreading all across Africa. A corrupt politician is arrested, and people from his immediate clan are shouting, look, what has he done that any other person has not
yeah,
done?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You understand?
Yeah, that's sick, man.
It got across, it's so widespread. Lack of luck is so widespread. It's,
I know. So look, I know how it hits you. You know, I thank you very much for calling, really. And I think I really do appreciate the passion and conviction with which you give your point of view. I've met Nigerians who say, like, they're afraid to raise kids here. And I can imagine the scenario that plays in their head, you know, like, well, maybe you have an image of what an okay society is, and we don't quite represent it just yet. So if you have a kid, you have a special burden because, well, you can't quite look at your kid and say, well, I have a 20-year plan. So except you're maybe like top of the food chain, you cannot quite look at Nigeria and you in the mix and say, well, so in Nigeria today, given the structure, this is a 20-year plan. No, this is a 10-year plan. So the poverty has come. We've given it passport. We've given it accommodation. It enters the bus with us. It's on that road while we're cruising through, driving on the Lekki-Ikoyi Link Bridge, or we're down there, Shamolu. The poverty has come. Now, we might have a chance to fix it. And I think this is a conversation really worth having because this is today, 14th July. Then we don't know for August, and we're not even praying that far, December. We just hope that if there's God, there's hope. Really. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Hello, how are you? How are you? If you cannot hear me, I'm going to ask you hang up and call back. Hello, good afternoon to you.
Guys, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Turn off your radio. You'll be my last caller. Well, two
that.
More callers. Thank you. Welcome, Francis.
I think last caller just said quite a lot. Yes. And the lady that started the idea of love, the language of love. Love is an action thing. For God so loved the world. And he took action.
Nigerians have churches now. You guys know what it is. At least that's the assumption.
Guys, if we love this country, we fix our system. I'm an advocate of strong system. I keep saying it. If you can still remember, Joyce, how many times I've called on your show?
Yeah.
I keep on talking. Whenever it is a Nigeria issue, I keep on advocating for a strong system. A system that don't have respect for president. A system that don't have respect for government.
In order to fight this poverty, what do you think we need to fix first? The system?
Joyce, if we have a right system where we set up a right policy, where they don't set a policy that will favor only one man.
Mm. In Nigeria, or a group of men.
In Nigeria today, Joyce, I've never seen where it happened. In Nigeria today, one man called Dangote is one dominating the business space. In this country, if you try to set up your own business, they strangle you, they frustrate you, they bring you down. They rubbish your idea. Joyce, where is it happen? How much is a bag of cement now? Where is the love? Love is an action thing. And we can come on the air and we keep on speaking English. Nigeria is going down the drain.
You want me to apologize for my English proficiency?
Joyce, hello, Joyce. I'm not referring to you.
Okay.
I'm not referring to you. You know, I love you with my whole heart.
Yeah, but nah, I don't want poverty. Nah, this poverty, Joyce, I don't. Now we know the problem is not prayer. At least now everybody is clear.
It's not. In the journey of life, you know, two factors have the rule. God factor and human factor. God do his own and human do his, do their theirs.
All right.
You can't push all the responsibility to God. I say, let's pray to God. What? Love is an action thing. Let us rise up and fix this country. Let us resist the politicians who don't want this country to work. Why would they take our resources here and go and refine it abroad? Where is it done?
It is done here.
Joyce, I'm not happy as a Nigerian.
Well, it doesn't quite appear that you have a reason to be, but at least you're grateful that there is a chance that Nigeria will be better and hopefully we can work towards it. Hello, welcome to the show. Do I have a break? Well, lady, I do apologize. You would not have hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm going to hear you.
I do apologize. You will not have time to speak because I have to go off on a break in a few seconds.
Okay, we'll call back.
Thank you very much. Off on a break. 99.3 Nigeria Info. The poverty of the future. We'll be right back.